Last week we learned the Chulin. We left off on Lamed Amud Aleph. We learned the Gemara Chof Tes on the Beis about the Machlokes Rabbi Yechon and Reish Lakish, where the Ein L'Shchita Elu D'Sof HaYesh Lo L'Shchita Mitchila V'Yad Sof. We got to the end of that Gemara. We're up to the new Gemara. Mr. Arbisfeld has Yahrzeit for his father, so we dedicate the learning of Zecha Nishmas Rabbi Avram Ben Chaim. And we left off on the Gemara. It's right in the middle line, sort of, in Lamed Amud Aleph. Amrav Yudah Marav, and the next line begins Hashechet. Hashechet b'shnayim b'shloshim mekayim b'shchitas ha'ksheru. Gemara has a machlokes here, Rav Shmuel. We usually have a klal whenever there's a machlokes Rav Shmuel. So the klal usually is, there are exceptions to the rule. The Gemara has the klal Hilchas k'rabbi Suri k'shmuel b'dinei. Whenever it's a machlokes in dinim amenis, so we assume that Shmuel was stronger in dinim amenis, we pass like him. Whenever it's machlokes in Issa v'heter, so we usually pass like Rav. So this is Issa v'heter. This is Issa v'heter. So the din should really be like Rav. So we're going to see. Let's see. It's a machlokes of Rishonim, how to pass in here. It's a Shaila. I don't think it ever comes up now. Amrav Yudah Marav. Rav is quoted as saying the following: Hashecha b'shnayim b'shloshim mekaymes shchitas ha'ksheru. What does it mean? He shechts in two or three different places, so the shechita is good. And Shmuel disagrees. Rabbi Yudah says, Ki amrita kamei de Shmuel. Rabbi Yudah was the Talmud of both Rab and Shmuel. And then after Rab passed away, then he went to learn by Shmuel all the time. So he told over to Shmuel a lot of things that he heard from Rab. They were in two different cities. They both learned in Eretz Yisrael by Rabbi Yudah Nasi. They were the first generation of Amoraim. Then they both traveled to Bavel, not together on the same boat. They both traveled to Bavel. And each one went to a different city and founded a yeshiva. And each one was teaching Torah. So 99% of everything they agreed. And there was 1%. They had machlokes. They had a lot of machlokes. But ruba de ruba, they agreed on everything. So this, Rabbi Yudah says, he heard this din from Rav. Vishach b'shnayim shloshim mekayemes is good. When he told it over to Shmuel, he didn't like it. Amali, so his reaction was, no good. The shechit has to be in one place. What exactly are they talking about? What does it mean? Shnayim shloshim mekayemes. So Tosus has three pshatim. Let's say this is the neck of the animal. So Tosus quotes the first pshat. He shechts a little bit here, and someone else is shechting a little bit here. Someone else shechting. They're shechting on the same side, shechting. And one of them succeeds in shechting roif. But Tosus explains, before you start shechting, so the veshet is very tight because it's held on top and on the bottom. So then the Gemara said earlier, beis hashchita mirvach rovach. When you start to cut, so it's going to be like a veal. It's not going to be like you're cutting flesh that's already on the plate, and you cut so there's going to be the two halves of the flesh are touching each other. It's so tight, it's stretched out. So when you start to cut, there's going to be a gap over there. It's going to make a gap. But if you're cutting in three different places, so it's already no longer so tight. So if you one of the three people who's shechting on the same side is going to succeed in cutting roiv of the neck, it's not going to be such a big open gap over there because it's not so tight to begin with. So the Gemara had, that's the machlokes. When you shech roiv, does it have to be that the rest of the veshet is very tight? So therefore, when you're shechting, it's going to be a big, wide-open gap like a V, a big indentation. Or even if you have it shechting in two or three places, and one of the three places is going to shecht roiv, so it's not going to be so separate, not going to be so open. So that's the first pshat that Tosfos gives. That's what Rashi seems to learn. Then Tosfos quotes when the shilt is a second shot. You go down 25 lines into Tosfos. They quote shilt is the Rabbi Choy. It says on the left-hand margin, Parshas Ba'alois Chesimim Kuf Chavdal. So Rabbi Choy Goyen has a different shot. Rabbi Choy, he wasn't really one of the Goyen. The Goyenim, the yeshiva was called Goyen Yankov. Whoever was the president of the yeshiva, whoever was the fundraiser, was called Rosh Yeshiva's Goyen Yankov. So they called Bekitzer Goyen. Some of them were goyim, and some of them were not such big goyim. The yeshiva was called Goyanik. So Rav Achoy was never a Rosh Yeshiva. He lived in the days of the goyim, and he used to give shiurim on Shabbos afternoon on Parsha Sashavu. He used to pick out a halacha topic in every parsha, and he would elaborate on it. So that's the Shiltas, the Rav Achoy goyim. It's known he lived in the Tkuvas HaGoyim. So it starts off every Reishish Noyach Lech Lech Vayah, every Sedra he has some topic, and in Lech Lecha he would probably, he picks Ms. Bris Milo, and Bereishis he'll pick Mitzvahs Pirei B'Rivya, some mitzvah that's relevant to the parsha, and then I'll start quoting all the Gemara's about. So the Shiltas has Hilcha Shechita, so he learns Prat like this. Let's say this is the Kona, this is the Veshet, so you have to cut Roiv, you have to cut 51%. So he didn't cut 51% of Asachas. He cuts a little bit here, and then he leaves a little bit he doesn't cut, then he cuts a little bit here, then he leaves a bit, cuts a little bit here. So if you add up all the three things that he cut, around and around, it's more than 50% of the circumference of the corner of the Veshet, but it's not B'Mokom Echad. It's not B'Mokom Echad. So that was the Machloikes, that's how the Shiltas learns. That was Machloikes between Rav and Shmuel. And then he adds on, and if you hold like Rav, that it is good, so not only is it good if they're all on the same level, then he has a chiddush on top of that. Even if you cut a little bit over here, then you cut a little bit lower down, then you cut a little bit more lower down. But it's all around and around. You can't say he cuts a little here, a little here, a little here, one on top of the other, and the circumference over here is so much circumference that's cutting, you're cutting the same part. But if you got a little here, and a little here, and a little here, three different levels, but if you add them all together, you cut up more than 50% of the circumference of the corner of the Veshet. So that's how the Shiltas learns Pshat.
That's good.
Yeah, that is good. That's what Rav. Chiddush. Rav says that that's good.
It's the biggest
Chiddush. It's a bigger Chiddush. And Shmuel says that it's no good. Machlek is Rav Shmuel. Shmuel says that it's no good. Then Tosfos quotes a third Pshat, but they find it very difficult, where the last two lines in this long Tosfos are Sheche, last two lines are Rabbeinu Hananel Pirish. Rabbeinu Hananel learns you have to cut the Kona and they have to cut the Veshet in a Behemah. In an Oy, if you only Shech either the Kona or the Veshet. In a Behemah and Rachal, you have to Shech the Kona and the Veshet. So what if he cuts the Kona and the Veshet next to each other? What if he cuts one of them up here and the other one down here? He cuts Roiv of the Kona here and Roiv of the Veshet, but they're not next to each other. So is that acceptable? So the Rabbeinu Hanan learns that was the machlek. The Tosfos says it doesn't fit into the words of the Gemara. The Gemara says Shech b'shnayim o b'shloisha mekaymus. What shloisha? You only have the kona and the veshet. You should say Shech b'shnayim mekaymus. You shech the kona b'makam echad roiv, and then you shech the veshet b'makam echad roiv, and the two, the roiv of the kona, the roiv of the veshet, are not on the same level. They're not next to each other. But what does it say in the Gemara? B'shloisha mekaymus. So the Tosfos doesn't understand how the Rabbeinu Hanan fits into the Gemara. The Perusha, the last line that I say, according to Rabbeinu Hananel, Amashkacha Shloshim Mekaymus. They only have a Kona Neveshet. Should say Shecha B'Shnei Mekaymus. So these are the three Pshatim in the Gemara. Nachamot. So Rabbi Yudah says over in the name of Rav that it's fine. And Tosfos had the three Pshatim. And then Rabbi Yudah, probably Rav passed away, and then he moved away from that city, went to learn by Shmuel in the other city. Kamrita Kamei Dishmuel told Rabbi Shmuel what Rav said, Omali. He said, I don't think that's acceptable. Inan shchitim beforas velek. Has to be parua. Parua means open. Bishnei bishloishim mekaymus, it's not open. So according to the first pshat in Tosfos, because the veshet is no longer stretched out, because it's cut in two or three different places. So even though one of them, if he would cut roiv in one place, then he starts cutting above and below in the shein good. He already cut roiv, so it's already good. But by the time he's cutting Rov, he already cut in a different location, another one or two places. So then the Veshen is no longer stretched out. So then the gap where you're shechting the Rov is not going to be so broad. It's not going to be such an open cut.
He doesn't cut Rov, he makes it a trefer.
The what?
He doesn't cut Rov right away, he makes it a trefer, no?
I don't know. And the Veshet, by the corner, there's no problem. Even chatzi corner problem. Even if the animal, by the corner is not a problem. By the veshet, there should be a problem. I mean, if you shecht the veshet a little bit, and then you shecht in a different place. So it's going to turn out that that was never part of the shechita. So there should be that that made it into a trefa. That's a strong point. I don't know. Maybe he's only talking about the kana. I don't know. Maybe he's only talking about the kana. Maybe you're right. Maybe in the veshet they would make it a trefa. Should be. Should be. So that's the first pshat. If you shecht in two or three places, it's not going to be as held tightly as before, so the opening is not going to be such a wide opening. The second shot was that he's shechting around in a circle. Yeah. He doesn't shecht 51% mitzvurf together. He has 20% here and 20% here and 20% here. So he has 20, 10, 20, 60, but it's not b'makom echad. It's all around in a circle. And if you say that that's good, then the shiltus even adds on, even 20% here and 20% low and 20% lower over here, as long as it's around and around, it would also be good. The third pshat is he shechts the kohen in one place, shechts the beishet in a different place, that the two don't have, the kohen and the beishet don't have to be in the same place, but each one, the kohen alone, has to be b'makom echad, and the beishet alone, the roiv, has to be b'makom echad. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they pasuk like Rav. We're going to have to see the Hemshech HaGemara. Shulchan Aruch, they say, Rav Shmuel, Hilchos V'Kirav, Tosfos makes that calculation on the Amud Beis, on the top Tosfos. That usually when there's a Machlekes, Tosfos has in the Rosh, and the Rosh has it. Usually Machlekes, Rav Shmuel, be pasuk like Rav. Yeah, but here it's not only Shmuel, there are more people that disagree. Rav Shlokesh Sov, Abin Shechitim before us, Rav Shlokesh also sides with Shmuel. That is no good. Shechita b'shnei mekamos is no good. Why? The Amar Rav Shlokesh, Menayin Shechita Shimi for Hashem Emma. Where do you have a pasuk in Tanakh that seems to imply that when you shecht, it has to be b'makom echad? It can't have b'shnei mekamos. Shenemar. The pasuk says, Chesh shochet b'shoinam mirma diber. It talks about people who talk lashon hara about others. So when they have their sharp tongue and they talk about others, it's like a sharp arrow. So, And the Tanakh uses, the Navi uses the verb shechita, chet shochet l'shainim. It's like an arrow that shechts. An arrow goes straight in one place. An arrow doesn't attack in five different places unless you shoot five arrows. But if you shoot one arrow, it only cuts in one place, in one direction. So based on that, we're establishing that the verb shechita is used in connection with an arrow. It carries over to shechita on a behemah and a knife that has to be b'makom echad. Shechita has to be b'makom echad. So it's a machlekes between Rav and Shmuel. Freg di Gemar, Moshe Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar was a Talmud of Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon was also the first generation of Amoraim, a Talmud of Rabbi Yudan Nos, and Rabbi Elazar was a Talmud of his. Moshe Rabbi Elazar, Freg Takashe, there's a Mishnah on Amid Beis, Shnai Mochsim Misakim Mishochtim, two people are shechting, Afil Echad B'mala V'Echad B'lmata, Shchitosik Sher, one is shechting higher up, one is shechting lower down. So it says, when one of them reaches the point of Raiv, so it's good. So the Pashup Shat is two people, two different Shochtim Shechting. So according to the first Pshat in Tosfos, we understand, because you want that the whole conurbation should be tight, and you're going to cut in two different places. By the time I succeed in cutting Raiv into this, let's say the Kona, like you said, probably right, the Veshid, I'll be in the Kuvus HaBeish, it'll be a Trefer. So let's say the Kona. So by the time I shecht the roiv of the kone, it's already cut in a different location. So it's not going to be held so tightly over there. So isn't that what it says in the Mishnah? Shnai mochsim misakin, each of two people, that's what it sounds like, each of two people is holding a sakin, and they're both shechting. Mm-hmm. One is higher up, one is lower down, that's what it sounds like. Shchitosik sheir, as long as one of them shechts a roiv, it's good. So it does not say beferish like Rab that it is good. Fegmar ve'amai, since you're cutting in two different places, so it's not going to be tight anymore, so it's not going to be an open gap. That's the Pashup Pshat in the Kasha. That's the first Pshat in Tosfos. And for the Gemara, Amalei Rab Yirmiya, no, the Mishnah means a different thing. You misunderstood. Mishnah Seinu, the case in the Mishnah is B'saken Echad, U'Shnei B'nei Adam. Two people are holding on to the same, they're holding on to a saw. A saw goes like this, so that's Pegima. So let's say they're holding on to a knife, that's big. And they're fiddling back and forth. So two people are holding the same knife. Not two people shechting, one higher and one lower. That was the simple reading. Shnai mochsim is sakin, two of people, each of them is holding a sakin. One is shechting higher than the other. As long as one of them reaches the point of rive, it's good. The Gemara says no, and the Mishnah means the sakanecha the shnei biyodim. Amle Rababi, how can you, it doesn't read straight? It says in the brisa ihochi, hainu detani alo. We have a brisa commenting on that Mishnah. That's a Mishnah on Amud Beis shnei mochsa mesakin. See, how do you translate shnei mochsa mesakin? Two people holding onto one knife. The two people, each one holding onto one knife. Shnayim ochsim besaken. You could say two people holding the same knife.
Shnayim you can say talis, we say one talis.
Right? So maybe shnayim ochsim besaken means two people holding to one knife. Well, no, the Gemara thought originally is two people cutting because it's avir echel lamayla v'echel lamato. How are you going to translate echel lamayla v'echel lamato? So the Gemara says diagonally. They're not shechting across, they're shechting diagonally.
Right.
So one is cutting higher up, one is cutting lower down, but it's all the same cut. Yeah. So the Gemara insists that maybe the pshat is, Shmuel will insist, the pshat in the Mishnah is that two people holding one sack. Frag the Gemara, but we have a brisa commenting on the Mishnah. What's the chiddush in the Mishnah? Two people holding onto the knife. What's the chiddush? Why would I have thought that it's no good? So the brisa explains, there's a brisa that comments. There are different kinds of brises. Some brises were composed originally as an independent standing alone. Some brises were composed like a batanura, as a commentary on the Mishnah. That's what the Balamor writes in the end of Chulin. The Balamor has a shtick. Yud Gimel Midah Shatoran Ed Resh Hashem. So we know what the Yud Gimel Midah Shatoran Ed Resh Hashem. Kal v'chaim gzer v'shoven ben yinav. In the Siddur it says. So he has Yun Gibel Midas, when you study Gemara, you have to keep in mind 13 different catchwords. So when it says V'tizbaro, he says, when it says Savruha, the Gemara sometimes starts like this. Savruha, the Bnei HaYeshiva thought X, and then they came to the realization that it's not correct. So Savruha is usually a technical term that means this is a Havamina, which is soon going to be rejected. And once in a while it says Savruha, and it's not rejected. So that's the first of the Yud Gibel Midas. Then he has a funny 13 kalalim he has. And it's part of the Balamor, so you have Melchamas on that too. Just like the Ramban disagrees with all the other Balamors, the Ramban disagrees every so often with the Yud Gimel Midas over here. For many years, it was never printed in the Vilna Shas. So it's only printed in the Tshuvas of the Raivi. What's it called? The Raivis of the Tmim Deim. So the whole text of the Yud Gimel Midas of the Balamor, they learned Pacharusa. Balamor and the Rabbit learned Pacharusa. And each one wrote Hasogas on the other one Sefer. So the Rabbit wrote Hasogas on the whole Balamor, and the Rabbit wrote a Sefer, Bali HaNefesh, and Hilchas Nid, the Mikvah, so the Balamor has Hasogas on him. They were interesting Charusa. The Rabbit always says, everything the Balamor says is wrong, and whenever he says something that's right, he says, he stole it from me. It was mine, and he stole it from me. Because everything he says is wrong. That's what he has. Like he writes Hasogas on the Rambam. Humorous style of writing. So the Balamor has there one of his Yud Gimel Midas is when the Gemara introduces a Brisa, sometimes I'll say Tana Rabbanan, sometimes I'll say Tanya, and sometimes I'll say Tana. What's the difference? So I think he says the word Tana is a technical term. Each one is a technical term. Tana means it's a Brisa that was written initially as a commentary on the Mishnah, like we would say the Bar Tanura. Or the Tiferes Yisrael is written as a commentary on the Mishnayis. So the Gemara has a Haina de Tani Allah. There's a brisa that's written to comment on this Mishnah. Shnai Mochsim Misakin. Shchitosik Sheri. So what's the end of the sentence? You don't have to be concerned. Maybe one of them will make a treif and the other one won't realize it. So the Gemara says, how can you say the Pshat is like you said, they're both holding on to the same knife? One of them is going to make a treif and the other one will realize. What are you talking about? If you're both shechting with the same knife, that's what he asks. Yeah, mepishleim mebishnei sakinim mishnei biyodim. Two people, each one is cutting with his own knife. Then we understand what the brisa means. Ein choshishim shemiyitrufu zalzeh. We understand shapir. We understand what the brisa means. Maudetema. One might have thought. One might have said lechish. We should be concerned. Dilma samchi hadadi. I'm cutting over here. You're cutting over there. So I'll rely on you. You're probably going to cut rope. So I'll just fiddle around. You're going to rely on me. I'm going to cut rife. So, but the end of the story being neither will we cut rife. I fiddle. I cut a little bit. You fiddle. Cut a little bit. And both of us shechted less than 50%. And we're both cutting from the same side. So you can't add up the incision that you made, the incision that I made. We're both on the same side. So the Gemara says, then I understand. You don't have to be concerned. Maybe one of them will shecht, and the other one, neither will shecht the reif, and they'll just make it into a treifa. We should be concerned. He won't shecht reif, he won't shecht reif. Each one will rely on the other one. So that's kamashmal and the Mishnah. Dein choshishim. That's a filam shat. That shnei mochsim b'shnei sakinim. They're holding on to two sakinim. Eliyamid b'sakin achas b'shnei beradim. If two people holding on to the same sakin, so how do you read? Ein choshishim shem yitrefu ze al ze. How can you make it into a treifa? But how is it going to become a treifa? They're both working together. What do you mean? I'm going to rely on you, and I won't realize you're going to rely on me. How is one going to rely? They're both working together. Of course they're going to have to check to see whether they shecht it right. Eli Yamrit, but if you're going to learn the suggestion that you give, Sakan Hashnei B'nei Adam, Ayin Choshim Shem Yitrufu Zalzeh, it should say a different thing. Ayin Choshim Shem Shem Yidrusu, Drusa, we learned the Chomish Tuchah Shechita, Shia Drusa, Chalada, Agram Leviyika. So Drusa is you have to cut, you have to fiddle back and forth. You have to use pressure to push down. You have to push down. But if you just push down like this, like when you cut the carrots or vegetable like this, so that's nevela. That's not trefa, that's a nevela. It's a psula and a shechita. You have to press down while you're fiddling back and forth. So if you have two people holding on to a big knife and they're pushing back and forth, if it's one person holding on so he can control it, and he'll be careful to shech, to fiddle back and forth as he's pushing down. But if you have two, so then there may be a concern that one of them, without the other one realizing, one of them may push too much pressure down without pushing back and forth. So if the Brisa would have said, instead of saying, Hi, Yen Chayshim Shem Yitrufu Zalze, instead of saying, Yenat Chayshesh, maybe one will make a trade for the other one won't realize it, should have written differently. Shema Yidrosa Zalze Meboyle, the Brisa should have said, you have to be afraid of Drosa. And he says, okay, Tini, you can correct the reading in the Brisa. Let it read. Because it's not a trefa, strictly speaking. See, in Yiddish today, in Yiddish, trefa means that it's not kosher. But if you eat chazer, that's not really trefa, that's behemoth tmeya. And if you eat, let's say, meat from the AMP, that's not trefa either, that's nevela. Nevela means it didn't have shchita. Trefa means if it had disease before you shechted it. That's called the treifa. So if you're afraid that each one is going to be lying the other one and no one's going to really cut roiv, so then it's going to be under kuvah saveisha, or it's going to be a psukas hagageris, so you make it into a treifa. But if they're both shechting together, you can't say one is going to be lying the other one. You can say there's a hashash, it may become an availer, may do drasa. But the brisa doesn't say that. And the brisas are not written in Yiddish, in Yiddishisms. You see, we would say as a Yiddishism, it's a treifa. But strictly speaking, it's not a treifa, it's an avela. So the Gemara says, so the Brisa is inaccurate. Instead of saying Shem Yitrefu, should say Shem Yidrusa Zelze. So it's an Ishkin Kash. Shreg the Gemara Kash. Masar Abovin. Shochras Abeshet Lam. This is a Brisa. There's a Brisa that says, Shochras Abeshet Lamato Vesakona Lamailom. He didn't shecht the two in the same location. One was higher up on the neck than the other one. Oh, es habeishet lemayla besakana lemato. So it says shchitosek sheir. There's a brisa that says like that. Freg di gemara, isn't that a violet? Isn't that exactly the machloikas, Rabbi Shmuel? So why is that exactly? That's according to the Rabbeinu Chananel. That was the machloikas, Rabbi Shmuel. He shecht the kana. We didn't understand why it says shlosha mekamos. You should say shnei mekamos. There are no shlosha. You just shech the kan shech the veshet. So they're not in the same place. So let's go back again. The Gemara asked the kasha Moshe Reb Lozer from the Mishnah and shnei mochsim misakin. They thought two people are shechting with two knives. So going to the first pshat that Tosis gave, that they're both shechting in the same location, so the kan is not going to be tight anymore. So it's not going to be shechita meforas. That was the kasha. So the Gemara says, no, they're only shechting. There's only one incision. And they're both holding two ends of the same knife. Fine, we understand. According to the second pshat in Tosfos with the shiltas that you're shechting around and around. So what did they think was the kasha here? Shnei mochsim misakim v'shechtim that they're shechting on different sides.
Yeah.
He's shechting here, he's shechting here, or he's shechting here, he's shechting here, and you can be mitzarif together. So that's beferish. Nine mochs and misakin at two different points, but on the same level or different levels, and it seems to say that it's acceptable. So the Gemara said, no, they're holding on to one knife and it's all by makam echad.
So if one does 30% on one side, the other does 30% on the other side, and it's not parallel.
Right.
So is that...
That's the machlekes. According to the shiltas, that is the machlekes, Rav Shmuel. Yeah, and we pass it every day, that is kosher. We pass like Rav.
Even though it's not, doesn't equal each other.
Right, right. And then the Rabbi Hananel seems to hold that when you shech the kana, it has to be right by makam echad. When you shech the veisha, it has to be makam echad. But the kana and the veisha don't have to be by makam echad. I can shech the kana here and the veisha there, and that's okay. And b'shloshim mekamos, we don't know what it means. So again, so according to the first pshat in Tosfos, the Gemara thought, shnai mochs and mishnei mekamos is one on top of the other. And the concern would have been, I'm going to rely on you, you're going to rely on me, you're going to shech the raiv, and so the Mishnah says, you don't have to be concerned. But our kalpanim, you see that it doesn't have to be tight at the time of shechting. According to the second mishad, mishnei mochs and mishnei mekaymus, one is shechting here, one is shechting here, one is shechting here, one is shechting here. And then according to the third pshat, shnei mochs and mishnei mekaymus, one is shechting the kana, one is shechting the veshet. He's shechting the kana b'makam echad, he's shechting the whole roiv of the veshet b'makam echad, but the kana and the veshet are not nishchat in the same location. So all the three pshatim and taisis fit into the Gemara. All the three fit in. How does the Gemara go weiter? Freg the Gemara. There's another brisa, not connection with this. A brisa that says shochnas abeisha lemato v'sakana lemaila. That's exactly what the Rabbeinu Hananel said. We're talking about you shech the kana and b'mak mechod, 51% b'mak mechod. Then you shech the veisha 51% b'mak mechod. But the two are not contiguous to each other. And says nonetheless that it's good. It's not exactly what Rav said. And Shmuel was not happy. So how is Shmuel going to disagree with the Braisa? It doesn't matter which he shechted high, which. So it says that it's kosher. But you tell me that Rishlok and Shmuel hold that it's no good. Doesn't the Braisa say beferish like Rav? And for the Gemara, who Mosevilov, who Mefarik law, on the top line it was Mosev Rabovin. The Amora who asked the Kasha himself gave an answer. No, it doesn't mean they're shechting in two different places. Like we said before, shechting diagonally. So it turns out that the kana, the incision by the kana is much higher than the veshet. The incision by the veshet is much higher than the kana. It is shechting diagonally like this or diagonally like that. But not that he shechted with two different knives in two different places. He shechted with one knife and diagonally. So it's not on one level. If you look at the animal straight, it's not on one level. But if you look in the animal crooked, so it's the incision is straight.
And each one is over 50%.
Yeah, yeah. And the cut in the ratio, each one is more than 50%. So perfect sheet.
Slush McDonald is also being selected diagonally by Slush McDonald.
What's the problem? Slush McDonald should also be. Could also be, yeah.
Diagonally is to McDonald. I would say here and here.
No. Rab holds that it's good even if it's three different places, right. And Shmuel disagrees. How does Shmuel read this brisa? So Rav Shmuel says, no, the brisa goes, it's one incision, it's not three different incisions, not two or three. The simple reading sounds like the two different incisions. He cut the veshet over here, cut the kana over there. The Gemara says, no, he cut diagonally. So it looks like it's in a different place, but it's really one incision. There's no akasha. And for the Gemara, who most of the Mefarkla, the same one who asked the akasha said, it's not really akasha. It's talking mishchita suya kikulmus diagonal. So how do we pask in halacha lemais? So the next Gemara tells us that who tura, once upon a time there was a big ox, the yishchet b'shnai mishlosh and mikaymus. This was the shah, they shechted it, and this was the case where there's a machlek, whatever the machlekes is, each one of the three pshatim in Tosfos. All Rabbi Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Mata, he's a prominent amora, he comes into the butcher shop. And he says, I want to buy 10 pounds of flesh from this bain. Shokal, he bought mishufri shufri. He bought the most expensive. He bought the prime quality flesh from the bain. So one of his talmidim says, is this kosher? Omalei Rabzeira says, lemaratana rabbeinu. So here there are two girsas in the Gemara. So one girsa we have. Omalei, Rebbe, you just taught us that the correct pshat in the Mishnah is Mishnah and Omer Beis. That Shnai Mochsa Mesach Meshochte means two people shechting in two different places, and it's still good. So he said, Benichusa. Reb Zera tells him, Benichusa, Lamaratana Rabbeinu, you just taught us, but you're purchasing this flesh, and Shmuel holds that it's Nevela, and you're buying it, so obviously you are of the opinion, Mishnah Sena, Mishnah Sakin, Mishnah Beri Adam, and it's still kosher. So you hold that it's kosher. Tosis quotes another Girsa. There's a quote, another Girsa from the Bahag, from the Halachas Gedolos, from the days of the Goenim, that he said, Halala Maratana Rabbeinu, he, Reb Zera, is confronting him and asking him, but you gave the shear, you said not so. He said the Mishnah is only two people holding on to one sakin. And now you're buying this flesh, according to what you said in shear, this should be an avela. And he didn't answer. Reb Shabbat didn't answer, and he took the flesh home and he ate it. That means that he ignored the Talmud's kasha, because he changed his mind. True, when he gave the shear, he said, like Shmuel and like Reish Lakish, that if it's Bishnai Mishlosh and Mekamis, it'll be Nevela. But now he's buying the flesh, he changes his mind and he holds like Rav, that it is good. So that's the top thesis, and that's the Balei thesis. And the Mechaber writes like that. We pass in the Halacha, that is kosher. Because whenever you have a Machlokes, Rav Shmuel, Hilchos HaKarab B'Yisuri, because Shmuel B'dinim. So the Mechaber Paskin is like that. I don't know, I was very surprised. On the side of the Rosh, you have the Hagos HaShri. That was written by somebody else. They have Oris. So they quote the Rav Shreiber Goen and his son Rav Hai Goen. These were prominent Goenim. A lot of the Goenim were just fundraisers. They were not into learning. Rav Hai Goen was one of the major Paskin. Rav Shreiber Goen, his father, was also one of the learning Goenim. So they both, the Goenim were closer to the Amaroim. So they said that it's Nevela. They said, even though usually we paskin like Rav, but they had the impression from this Gemara that we should paskin like Shmuel. But in the Shulchan Aruch, they ignore Rav Hai Goen with the Rav Shreiri Goen, and they paskin like Tosis, that it's good. But he quotes, it's a whole Agos Ashri here. He quotes that in different communities, they held that it's Nevela. Other Balei Tosis held that it's Nevela. In Shulchan Aruch, I was surprised. Shulchan Aruch says it's kosher, the Shach doesn't argue, and they leave it like that. Shach leaves it like that. That is kosher. Okay? So Zayin on Zayin. So that was Rab Yehuda Amar Rab. That's Rab Yehuda said in the name of Rab. Now the Gemara quotes again. Amar Rab Yehuda Amar Rab, another din. And the other din is about Chalada. There are Chomishel Chashchita, Shiyad Rasa, Chalada Hagram Avikta. So Chalada means you have to, let's say in a Behem, you have to Shech the Kona and the Veshet. So instead of cutting from the outside, cutting straight, so usually you have the animal laying on its back, and you cut, the animal's lying down like this, and you cut straight down. So chalada means instead of cutting from the outside, cutting down, fiddling back and forth, he sticks the knife in between the corner and the veshet, and then he shechts. Either he shechts upwards, backwards, or he shechts down, the lower siman. So that's called chalada. Where's the word chalada come from? So Rashi said, like a chulda, like a weasel, that hides in between the bushes or in the house in between the pieces of furniture. So here, he stuck the knife in between the kon and the veshet, and he's shechting like that. The knife is not exposed. Knife is not exposed, that's a din of chalod. So chalodah is discussed later. Where is chalodah discussed? I think it's a Mishnah later. This is Shehiya. No. I already forgot where Chalada is. Is it in this Mishnah? No, it's a Mishnah later. Lamed Beis Amid Aleph? The second half, the bottom Mishnah. The second half of the bottom Mishnah, Lamed Beis Amid Aleph, has the din of Chalada. So really, this Gemara, where Rab Yehuda is quoting Rav, Am Rav Yehuda, about Chalada, should really be over there. That's what Tosfos says, what's it doing over here? It doesn't belong here. We didn't even mention, we're learning Gemara, so on the Gemara in the first paragraph, they already rattled off all the Chomishel Cheshchita, Shiyad Rasa Chalada Agrama Vika. But in the Seder of the Mishnayos, you don't get to Chalada till Lamed Beis Amid Aleph. So why do they quote it here? So Tosfos explains, because it's a little similar to what we were talking before. We're talking guy shechting over here, shechting over here. It's a funny, so it looks a little bit like Chalada. So by association, Once he was talking about shechting little here, so he said over another din that he heard from Rav. Om Rav Yudam Rav said another din. What's the halacha? What are the dinim of chalod? Hechleres hasakim in simen lesimen. He sticks in the knife. He didn't shecht anything yet. He sticks in the knife in between the kon and the veshed. Upaskoi. And then he cuts one of the two. So psula. That's exactly what chalod is. The knife is not exposed. It's in between the simanim. So that's a psula. That's a real nevela there, I say. It doesn't matter whether you shecht it upwards or you shecht it down. Shecht it the upper simen upwards or you shecht it the lower simen down. It's no good because the knife wasn't exposed when he started to shecht. So it's no good. What if he just, instead of cutting from the outside, he sticks the knife in between the hide and the simanim? There's no halacha that you have to shecht the skin, the hide. So what if he sticks it in between the skin and the simanim, and then he shechts the two simanim? Is that called chalode? Maybe it's only called chalode Bein simen l'simen, because you're supposed to do shchit on the kona and on the veshet. That's called chalod. There's no halacha neither here nor there whether you have to do shchit on the hide and on the skin. So that's what Rav is of the opinion. Tachas ha'or k'shera. If you stick the knife in between the hide and the simanim, that's not called chalod, because the or, the hide, the skin doesn't need shchit, so that's not a problem on chalod. Right, because the other Amoraim are not so convinced. So they're even machmir if you tie a shmata tightly around the neck. If the shechet is shechting, he's shechting, and then his yarmulke falls on top of the knife, and he continues to shecht, he's going to pick up his yarmulke, then he's going to continue to shecht. It'll be shehiyah. So he doesn't want to do shehiyah. So let's say he has a big talus, a face. And as he's shechting, middle of shechting, his beged falls on the knife, he keeps on shechting. So that's not chalod. Just because a loose beged is on top. They quote the Rambam. The Rambam says that's an issue of chalod, and all the Rishonim think that it's too much of a chumrah. But the Gemara talks, if you wrapped around a scarf, a tight scarf around the neck of the behemoth, then you stick the knife in between the scarf and the neck, and you cut, so that's an ibayi delev sheet in the Gemara. The Gemara has a suffix about that. And then that's tachas matlis mahu. But if you put a tight matlis, you put a tight scarf on the neck, and tachas hatseb and besubach mahu. If there's wool, tight wool, if you have loose wool, so that's the no chalada. But if you have tight wool, and you put the knife is covered over by the wool on the outside, and then you shech, so that's a suffix in the Gemara also. So all of this is a teku. So the Rashi says, teku the raisas, suffix the raisa l'chumer. If you have a teku on a din, the Rabbanon says, suffix the Rabbanon l'kula. If you have a teku on a din, the raisa, you have to go l'chumer. The Rashi says that everything here is a suffix the raisa. So the Gemara says like this. Hech, Rav says, if you did chalod, ben simen l'simen, that's chalod, that's nevel. If you put the knife tachas ha'or, that's not chalod, because the or, the high, it's not chal shchit on or, so that doesn't create a problem. What is he telling me, a chiddush? That if you stick the knife in between one simen and the other, that's chalod. That's what it says in the Mishnah. Tanina, isn't that the Mishnah later that you just read? Lamed beis amenal. The Mishnah is like this. He shechted the first simen normally. Behemoth is on its back. So he's shechting from top to bottom. He shechts the first simen normally. Then instead of continuing, he takes the knife out and he sticks it below the bottom simen and he cuts upwards. Huh? It's a Shia Mashahu. Yeah, we would be Machmer. We're Machmer even on a Shia Mashahu. We'll have to see why. We didn't learn all the Gemaras yet. But in the days of the Gemara, they weren't so Machmer and Shia. Shia is only if you shecht and then you pause and then you continue to shecht and you pause so long, you could have shechted a whole animal to do the whole Shechita from the beginning to the end. So if you just pause for a few seconds, that's not a psul of Shia. So that's what the Mishnah has the case. He's shechting simen echad like this. He's shechting from the outside. Then he takes the knife, sticks it below the simen sheni, so it's not exposed to the outside avir ha'olam because the simen sheni is mapsik. And then he cuts the simen sheni by cutting upwards. So that's what the Mishnah says. So what is Rav's chiddush? He discovered America here. He says if he stick the knife in between one simen and the other, and you cut down, you shech the lower one, it's chalada. That's what it says in the Mishnah. So what's the chiddush? So he could have said the chiddush is the second one. That tachas ha'or doesn't bother me. That's going to be debated. Others are not so convinced. Other Amoraim say no. We're machmer tachas ha'or. When machmal halacha is safik deraisa, tachasor. But the Gemara says, now even the first thing that he said is also a chiddush. And for the, let's see. Let's say again, what's the case in the Mishnah? He shechted first one simen, then he took the knife out for a slight pause, and then he put it below the second simen, and he cut upwards. So the first simen he did shecht properly. Be'emes you have to shecht the kona and the veisha. Oh, if you only have to shecht one. So here there's machlekes hatanaim, Rabbi Yeshev of Hasefer, Rabbi Yeshev of, he was from Nasora, Rugim Malchus. Rabbi Yeshev of Rabbi Akiva had a machlekes. If you would shecht the whole animal, bechalodeh, so the whole thing would be an avela. Here, the Maaseh Shoy was the first simon he shechted properly, but so he did it proper shechita. The second simon he did chalodan. So that's a machlok. So Yeshev avayim an avela. What does it help that he shechted the first one properly? After shecht both properly. So since the second simon he shechted improperly with chalodan, it's an avela. Kiva says no treifa. Why is it only treifa? Because the simon echad he did behechsha, and ba'if that's all you need is simon echad. So by Mehema also simon echad heista shechita. He did a proper shechita and one simon, but the halacha requires after shecht the other one also. You can't say that it's kshera, but it's not a nevela; it's only a treif. The zol bezach you get malchus anyway, but it's treif on nevela.
Why does it have to be between the two simon? Why couldn't he go behind both and come up? That's not chalada.
Also chalada. Also chalada. Yeah.
It's not
no, that's also going to be chalada. But the Mishnah has the machlekes. Rabbi Yeshev of Rabbi Akiva is a treif on a vela when he shechted the first simon properly. Yeah. Then he puts the knife tachas the second simon. He cuts upwards. So that's a machlekes. Is it nevela treifa? Rabbi Akiva says it's only treifa because al kol panim he did one shechita properly. But if that would have been all you have to do, but it's not a knife. It's a beim. So the Gemara says so. We know like that. If you put it in between one simon and the other, that's exactly chalode. So my kamashmal on Rav. So the Gemara, so I would have said the second half, that Tachas Ha'or is not Chalod. The Gemara says, not even the first half of what he said is also a Chiddush. Why? Even Masnissen, if Rav wouldn't have made his statement, he would only have the Mishnah, Havi Amin, I would have mistakenly thought, Hani Mili, when is it a Psul of Chalod Mulamata Lamailo? He stuck the knife under the second simon, and he cut upside down. The animal is on his back, and he's cutting from bottom to top. So if you do both, the lo kovei derech shechita, he's shechting upside down. Avol, but the way Rav gave the case, he sticks the knife in between the two simon, then he shechts from the top to the bottom, his lower simon, then he takes out the knife and he shechts the top simon properly. So one might have mistakenly thought from the Mishnah that it's only a psul of chalod, it makes nevela if it's both together. If it's hechlet is asakin and he shechted upside down. But if he does kederach shechita, Ema, I would have said, Shabbadam is good. Kamash malon, that is not so. Alright, so the first thing that Rav said is also chiddush. Doesn't really stay in the Mishnah that far, and Rav just spelled it out. That's also chalod. Then the second thing that Rav said, that tachas ha'or is okay, not everybody agrees, and we don't accept that kula of Rav. Tachas ha'or ksheira, Bei Rav Amri, that's what Rav said. Rav is the Rosh Yeshiva. But in Rav's Yeshiva, usually Bei Rav and Rav say the same thing. The Gemara every so often will have a stira. How can Rav say that? But Bei Rav and Rav's Yeshiva, they said not so. So it's a contradiction. Once in a while they have a machlekes. The Talmidim don't always agree with the Rosh Yeshiva. So Rav held Tachas Or Kshera. And Bei Rav Amri and Rav's Yeshiva, they used to say, Tachas Or Eini Yadeya. Not so sure. Not so sure. So Rashi says, Sofik Deraisa Luchumer. So in your day it says when machmer, if you stick the knife tachas ha'or and then you shech the simonim, when machmer that's called chalod. Then the Gemara has a suffix within Bei Rav and Rav's yeshiva that when machmer tachas ha'or is chalod the boy luhu li Bei Rav according to Rav's yeshiva, according to the Talmidim's opinion. Dami tachas ha'or any adaya, they're not sure. And we say suffix deraisa luchumer, what would you say tachas ha'matl is mahu? What if you have a scarf that's tied on tightly? The behemoth has a cold, whatever, they're tied on a scarf, shouldn't catch a cold, whatever, and he sticks the knife in between this tight thing. You can say tachas or, the or is part of the animal, but the matlis is that's further removed. The matlis hashmat has nothing to do with the behemoth. So it's more swore to say that tachas matlis should not be at all, that should not be chalodim. Or what's the din? Tachas tema mesubach mau. There's very thick wool on the neck of the animal, and instead of cutting straight from the outside and having the knife exposed, he sticks the knife under this thick wool and he shechts. Maybe that's the same as tachas ha'or. But on the other hand, it's not, because the wool he could have shaved off. The wool was something that's added onto the animal. So they're not sure what teiku. They're not sure. So whatever is a teiku or sofik, they're right. Okay. So we're machman all this. Tachas or we're machmer. Tachas matlis. We're machmer. Just the Rambam had a chiddush. Not only tachas matlis, if nafla taliso. Maybe the Rambam had a different gears instead of matlis. Maybe he had a gears of talis. Rambam has nafla taliso on the behemah, and he continues to shecht. That's also chalod. That's a shveri Rambam. It, there's nothing tight over there. Why should that be chalod? So we machman everything. And then the Gemara has the last line. This is the famous line. Boy rapape, also a teiku. Teiku deraisa l'chumer. Boy rapape, he has a shayla. What's the din hechlet b'niyat simon? And mahu teiku. What if he does chalod in the miyut? What do you mean? What do you mean did chalod in the miyut? What happened? So here is the ganza machloikas. So this is famous Rashi. This is a long Rashi. Rashi presents, and we're machma like Rashi. Ashkenazim ha-machmer. The Mechaber paskins against Rashi, but the Ramah quotes Rashi la-alochem. Ashkenazim ha-machmer. The shaila is like this. If you shecht the roiv of the kona, the roiv of the veshit, and you leave it alone, and the animal drops dead, so there's no shaila. You shecht the roiv kona, roiv veshit, so shchitos ekshera. The shaila is, you shecht the roiv kona, the roiv veshit, you wait a half an hour, then you so let's say the animal is taking a long time till it dies. So you get the guy to bop the animal on the head. Okay. It's not a nevela. You already shechted it. That's not a problem. Or you take a knife and you cut the legs off. Whatever you do to hasten the death is not a problem. But Rashi says, what if you take the knife and you continue to shecht? You waited a half an hour, then you continue to shecht and you cut off the rest of the neck. So that is that called Shia? What he's saying, how can it be Shia? He already finished the Shechita. It's already kosher. We already put the label on. We already put the stempel on. That it's kosher. So how can it all of a sudden become an Avela? So Rashi learns that was the suffix in the Gemara. Hechlet b'miyot zimana means miyot basra. Miyot basra. He already shechted the roif, and it's already Shechitos Hekshera. The Mashgiach already put the label on that it's kosher. Now we have to take off the label because it continues to shecht. So in Shulchan Aruch and Yerideya, so one opinion has it, the only time it's a suffix in the Gemara, if the same one who did the original Shechita continues to shecht. But if a different person takes over, so that's not a hemshech from before. Even though if one person does the Kona, one person does the Veshet, that's fine, it's Mitzurev. But if you have one person already shechted the animal and it's kosher already, then you want to say, when you continue to shecht the Miyud Basra, even though you didn't have to shecht it, you want to say still it's nitfas and shchit and it's a hemshech from before, and it turns out that the shchita was done b'shehiyah, so that's only if the same person shechts. So the shach quotes such an opinion. The only time there's an ibayid lev shchit and we're machmer is only if it's the same person. We don't really hold like that. We're machmer like Rashi even if it's two different people. So why is the Rashi so long? Because Rashi quotes the same is true regarding hagrama. Hagrama means if you shecht too high or too low. There's only a certain location within the Kohen and the Veshet. Can't shecht higher than that. We learned in the first, I can't shecht too low. So what if you shecht the two-thirds of the Kohen or two-thirds of the Veshet? Finished. You already finished the Shechita. Just leave the animal alone. It's kosher. But then he takes the knife and he continues to shecht too high or too low. So you didn't need to do that. The behemah is already kosher. Can you make it into an avela after it already was a shchuta? Can you make it into an avela? So Rashi learns, Rashi interprets that the Gemara before the Afchaptes said that that's also an avela. So you have two Gemaras. You have Hechlet b'miyot siman, and Rashi learns miyot basra. And Hagrama, Rashi quotes a Gemara. Shochat shnei shlishim, he shechted 66% of the kana, 6% of the veshet, and then v'higrim shlish, he does hagram, and he didn't have to continue to shecht. He shechts a little more, he finishes it, but he finishes it too high or too low. So Rashi quoted a gemara from the first parak that that's also an avail. And there's a gemara, then there's a gemara on the next daf that places quotes with the gemara on the next daf. I forgot already. By shor b'miyot zimun, where is it? Lamed beis amid aleph. Amid Beis, Amid Aleph. Where's about Shehiyah? Here it is. right before the two Mishnayos on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, in between the first Mishnah and the second Mishnah, where by the time the letter test, Shor b'mirtzi mani mahu teku. Gemara has a sofer. So Rashi learns over there also the same shot. He shechted already, roif kana roif eshet, then he waits a half an hour, then he continues to shecht the mirt basra. So Rashi says that's a teku. So all three Rashi paskins luchumer, that's the Ramah paskins Ashkenazim like that. Even though the shechita was already completed, you already shechted the roif kana roif eshet, and you do either chalada b'mirt basra, or you do shiir b'mirt basra, or you do hagrama b'mirt basra. So Rashi learns all the three Gemaras mean the same thing, and it's an avela. See, this is a shaila. The people are learning Yeridaya, so there's like a review book. So it's called Evan Boichen. The difference from they used to have in Europe, when you finish Yeridaya and you want a chazer to make sure you know all the halachas, so they have questions. So they have one of the questions, a funny question. Hey, we must have discussed it when we learned earlier. That the whole animal is an avela except for one leg is a kshera. How is that possible? The leg of the animal is kosher geshachten. The rest of the animal is avela. Either the whole thing is avela or nothing is avela. How can it be that the leg is kosher? So the answer supposedly is this: I shecht the rav kana rav eshet. I'm finished. Finished. So I cut off a leg. So the leg is kosher. And then I continue to shecht the rest b'shehir, or b'hagrama, or b'chalode. So the rest of the animal just became an avela, but the leg I cut off before I made it into the avela, so it's only an avela mikan al habon. So the pashta says that the Evan Boichen is wrong. Pashta says that it's not correct. Even if you cut off the leg, why should the rest of the animal be an avela? The answer is, because the whole shechita, put the whole shechita together, the whole shechita was done by psul. So it's a gloy milsal mefer from the beginning of the whole shechita. The shechita was done by psul. The pasha pshat and shia, then in the next mishnah, pasha pshat and shia is like, that's a person is davening. The hatzolah people. Middle Shmona Esrei, the telephone starts to ring and he runs, Middle Shmona Esrei, he runs out, he drives in the car and he comes back 2 hours later. And he didn't finish, he left off by Shmakolenu. He said the Hoshman is until Shmakalena, and he has a pause for 2 hours. He was talking a lot also in the middle. We're talking a lot. So you're not allowed to talk in the middle of Shmon Esrei, but if you did talk about the weather, about politics, about sports, whatever, so the din is b'diyevet, you don't have to daven over. Even though the talking doesn't belong in the middle of Shmon Esrei, the Shulchan Aruch writes like that. A person says, Yalla v'yavu b'yam Rosh HaChodesh Hazeh, and it's a week after Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh was last Wednesday. Today's not Rosh Chodesh. So by mistake, Mezid, Bishag, whatever, he says, Yalla v'yavu. So the whole Yalla v'yavu is a nice piyut. Yalla v'yavu, Yagivi, Yerav, 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 everything is beautiful piyut, but B'yom Rosh HaChodesh Hazeh, that's Sheker. Today's not Rosh Chodesh. So that phrase, B'yom Rosh HaChodesh Hazeh, that should be a hefsik. Maybe the rest is a nice piyut that you added on, but B'yom Rosh HaChodesh should be a hefsik. So you should have said you're not Yotze. So the Mechaber Paskins that you are Yotze. And the Taz has a long argument. How can it be? How can it be? He was Mafsik. So the Mishnah Berurah says, very nice, but we don't pass like the Taz. We pass like the Shulchan Aruch. That even though L'chatchili, you're not allowed to be Mafsik, and not allowed to talk in the middle of Shmon Esrei. But if you did talk, it doesn't pass the Shmon Esrei, you're Yotze. Unless, the Mechaber says, unless sure, could they leak Merskula? How long would it take you to say the whole Shmon Esrei from the beginning to the end? 4 minutes. How long? I don't know. Daven slowly, daven quickly. Let's say 4 minutes it takes to say. 5 minutes to say the whole Shmon Esrei from the beginning to the end. So he went for the Hatzolah call for 2 hours. Then he comes back. So if he just talks in the middle about the weather, about the sports, and about politics for 2 minutes, that's not Shok Delik Maskula. But if he goes for a Hatzolah call for 2 hours, then he comes back. So Shok Delik Maskula is Mabatal Tzirf. Then you have to start all over again. So the Shok Delig Maskula is not only a din in Shmon Esrei, it's a din in Kriya Shma, it's a din in Tkiya Shoif, it's a din in Mikra Megillah, it's a din in Duchening. Whatever you're supposed to do a mitzvah that takes a while, and you have a major pause in the middle, you paused so long that you could have finished the whole mitzvah from the beginning to the end. That's when the Mishnah Berurah is not happy when the Kohanim are Duchening. So what's going on? They have such a long pause, Yibrach Hashem, then they sing a long dig until they say V'yishmarach. They could have said all the three psukim in the time that we pause over there. So shouldn't the Mishok Kralik Maskula? What's going on? How come you pour so long? So he says, maybe because they sing a niggin, so the niggin blends in to be part of the duchening. Okay, so they have to sing a good niggin. Mishnah Berurah is Mekel, if they sing a niggin, it blends in. Okay. But the din of Shok Kralik Maskula is a din, whenever there's a mitzvah, that takes a long time. So that's the pashtus, the way you understand the din of Shia by Shechita. You have to shecht an animal, and it's a process that takes a while. It doesn't take a half a second, a split second. It takes a while till you shecht the whole animal. So shok, and it's the same shia, shok delik maskula. If you shecht a little bit and then you wait, you pause so long that you could have done the whole shechita from the beginning to the end, then it's not. Then the second half is not mitzvah with the first half, and it comes out that you made it a trefa before. There's no shechita. The shechita has to be the shechita. You have to cut both the kon and the veisha together. It has to be mitzuraf yachad. And there was a havsoka, so it's not mitzuraf yachad. So if that's the pashim shat, that shia passes the shechita because there's no tziruf, so that's only a problem if you're going to do the shia before you complete the shechita. But if you already shechted the kon and the veisha, everything is finished already. So how can you say that that shia is going to... He waits an hour, and then he continues to shecht vayt. So why should that passel? Dalmehacha, so you don't need the rest. He already shechted it originally. So how, so that's what Rabbi Natam says. Rashi is wrong. Rabbi Natam argues on Rashi. Rashi is wrong. This is a beferish tosefta. That once you finish the whole shechita behechsher, the roiv of the kana neveshet, you can stand on here, you can do whatever you want. You can do shia drosa, chalad, agrama vika. You can do all the five psulim, and there won't be any, there's no problem. Once it's kosher, it's kosher. Rabbi Natam says the whole Rashi is wrong. So why, how do you understand Rashi? The Rashi holds that Shia, maybe it's correct that Shia is Mevatel Tzir, but Rashi holds it's more than that. Shia makes it that the Shechita is Bipsul. So from the beginning to the end, he did Shechita, and there was a half an hour pause in the middle. So the whole thing is called one big Shechita Bipaslus. So the whole animal from the beginning to the end was Geshachten and Avela. So even the leg that you cut off before, I cut off a leg and then I continued to shech. Even the leg that you cut off before is no longer attached. But the Tchilas HaShechita had to be Chala on that leg. And now it's the Gloy Milson and Afreya that Tchilas HaShechita was part of a Shechita Psula. So the Pashta says even the leg will be Asa Bachila. Pashta says a Devin Boichen is not right. And the Hechitimtze that they give. Hechitimtze that the whole animal is Nevel except for one leg. It's impossible. If you Shecht the Roiv, then you cut off the leg, then you continue to Shecht. Pashta says it's a Gloy Milson and Afreya from the beginning. It was a Shechita Bipaslus, and even the leg will be Asa.
I might have asked this last year, but what happens if you eat the leg while it's still kosher, and then it turns out the mafreya it wasn't kosher?
What are you going to do? So, you can't give malchus. At the time that he ate it, everybody thought that it was kosher. But still, there'll be a glory of the Muslim mafreya that is really an avela. He really ate an avela. B'shaike, okay. He ate an avela, b'shaike. It depends what ikra means. What shia drasa chalada hagrama v'ikra. So what is ikra? So there was a taisus before. The taisus had a machlekes. So some rishon, where was it? Kula tinun. It tells someone else. So Rashi learns that ikra means you rip out the neck instead of shechting the knife. You rip apart the neck. So Tosi says that's not a psul shechita. He didn't do a shechita at all. So how do you call that one of the chomish hilcha shechita? He didn't do a shechita. So he says no. What it means is he shechts with the sak and peguma. So Rashi seems to hold shechting with the sak and peguma is a psul and shechita. And Tosi argues with Rashi. No, it's not called a shechita at all. The shecht with the sak and peguma is not called a shechita at all. And the other pshat Tosi gives is that ikka means the simon is nekar. The kor and the veisha is supposed to be attached on the top and attached on the bottom. So, what if before I shech the kor and before I shech the veisha, it's already detached from where it's supposed to be? So Tosis says one would have thought that makes it a trefa. So this, the halachas gedolus law holds no, it's not. If the kor or the veisha is detached from where it's supposed to be attached, doesn't make it into a trefa. But if and when you shech the animal, the shechita won't be chal. Because the simon is awkward. You can't do shechita on the simon awkward. So what does the Bahag hold about shechting with the sak and peguma? Mishnah says it's no good. Why is it no good? So Tosfos says, according to the Bahag, shechting with the sak and peguma is like ripping the neck. That's not called a shechita at all. Rashi also knows shechtim with sakim pguma is a shchita bipsul. So the shach has a machlokes. What if I shecht roiv simonim, and we're machma if you do hagrama b'mir basra or shir b'mir basra chalada b'mir basra? What if I shecht with the sakim pguma b'mir basra? The whole shchita he did with a good sakim, and then he takes a sakim pguma and he continues to shecht. So there are two opinions in the shach. He quotes a sefer and he disagrees. That's the shaila. Absolutely, that's the shaila. When you shecht with the sakim pguma, is it like bopping the animal on the head, like shooting the animal? So shecht with the sakim pguma is not called shechita at all. So that's not a problem. Or do you say no? Shechting with the sakim pguma is called a shechita psula. And if you do it at the mir basra, it'll also pasul. It'll also pasul. Yeah. So that's a machlokes in Yeridea. How do we pasken? Whether we pasken like the Rashi, or we pasken like the Bahag, whether ikur means shechting with the sakim pguma. That's a shechita b'psul. That's how Rashi learns. And the Bahag says no. Shechting with the sakim pguma is called ripping the neck. That's nothing with nothing. That's not kind of pasul b'mir basra. What it means is shechting a simon that's nekar. So in our Gemara, we know how Rashi learns. That's the same Rashi from Daf Lamed Beis and Daf Chav Tes. By all three, by shir b'mir basra, hagrama b'mir basra, and chalada b'mir basra, it's all the same. Then Tesis quotes one Bala Tesis who holds halfway like Rashi. He says there's room to distinguish. Tesis quotes around the eight lines from the top. The line begins in Tesis, Rabbeinu Yitzchak b'Rav Meir Aimer. Rabbi Yitzchak b'Rav Meir says there's room to distinguish. He holds like Rashi that hagrama that chalada b'mir basra pasul, that's our Gemara, hechla b'mir simon, and shir b'mir basra pasul, that's on the next daf. But hagrama b'mir basra, hagrama means you're shechting too high or too low. So shechting too high or too low, that shaloi b'makam shchita. So that's like shooting the animal. That's like bopping it on the head. That shouldn't count at all. How can you say that hagrama b'mir basra makes it into the veda? Tesis gives a moshel. When you shecht too high, too low, havikilu shechit b'raglo. It's like the animal I shechted, and then the animal's still jumping around. So I cut off the legs, or I cut out the heart, or I shoot it in the brains. So that's not a psul in the shechita. You can't say that it's a gloy milsim affair. The whole shechita was no good. So the Rivan basically said the same as Rashi, and Rabbeinu Tam is unhappy. Rabbeinu Tam quotes a Tosefta. After it's already kosher yishach, how can you make it a gloy milsim affair becomes an avela? The affair ex post facto becomes an avela. How can it be? So the Rivan just chiseled off. Hagrama b'mir basa doesn't make sense. But the other two, the Shia with the Chalode, he holds like Rashi. So the Shaila is, if the Rabbeinu Tam holds that Rashi is wrong, so how do you read Pshat and the Gemara? What does it mean, Hechlid b'mir tzimon imau? What does it mean, Shob b'mir tzimon imau? What is it talking about? So Tesis quotes a Pshat. Tesis quotes two Pshat. Tesis quotes one Pshat that goes like this. Let's say by Chalode. But hechled b'mir tzimon. Let's say he had the knife and he cuts the first siman. He's cutting down. He cuts the roiv of the first siman. So once you say I shechted roiv, so ruba kekuloi is considered as if he shechted the mirut basra also. Then he takes the knife and he cuts backwards the mirut basra. He didn't have to, but he's still in the middle of shechita. After you already shechted the roiva, the kana, the roiva, the veshit, the animal is already kosher. It's already nishchat. So then the Rabbeinu Tam quotes a Tosefta. How can you make it into an avela lemafreya? You already shechted the roiv kana, roiv veshit. The Tosefta says it's kosher. But if you only shechted the roiv kana, you didn't shecht the veshit yet, so you didn't finish the shechita yet. But Ruba Kukula is considered as if the miut was already nishchat. But now he goes ahead and he shechts the miut b'chalod. So maybe that passels. He's not sure. Maybe that passels. That's one suggestion Tosis gives. If that's a suggestion here, should I say Ruba Kukula is considered as if the Miut Basra is Nishchat already, so whatever I'm going to do to it doesn't count, it's considered as if it's cut already? Or you say, no, Ruba Kukula it's enough, but it's not considered as if it's Nishchat. So if you're going to Shecht it Bechalod, it'll be a passelus. So if that's the Pshat, how are you going to learn by Shehiyah? Shia b'miyot simonim. What do you mean shia b'miyot simonim? He shechts roiv of the first simon. If he shechts already roiv of the kana and the vesh, and then he does shia, Rabbeinu Tam says it, Tosefta says it's not a problem. It's already kosher yishachna, it's not a problem. So when did he do the shiur? He did the shiur after shechting roiva, the first simen. Then he does shiur on the miut basra of the first simen. He does shiur, so shiur between the first simen and the second simen. It's not going to be good. So Tosfos says no. What it means is like the Gemara says over there. The Gemara has on that daf, on daf lamed beis amid aleph, Omar Rava, the line begins with the tiny Zion, with the word Hashech Bisak and Ro. So slightly below the middle point of the Omar, by the letter Zion. Omar Rava, Hashech Bisak and Ro. Shechet has a knife that's not so sharp. And he's cutting back and forth, cutting. It takes him an hour. Shechita shouldn't take an hour. But it's such a dull knife, it takes him a long time. He didn't pause at all. Every time he's fiddling back and forth, no shears at all. So the Gemara says it's good. The Kshera, why? A shech b'sak and roh, a dull knife that's not too sharp. Afilo kalayam kulay, even if it takes him all day long. Kshera, unless the animal drops dead in the middle. Okay? The animal dies in the middle. Before he finishes, it'll be an avela. But if he keeps on shechting, it's good. So that's what the Rabbin and Tom suggested. Pshat shab b'mir tzimon imahu. He shechted the roiv of, he turns the animal upside down. He shechts the roiv of the first simen. And if he stops there and he shechts the second simen, it's fine. He doesn't stop there. He takes a dull knife and he continues to cut the miut basra. So should I say ruba kukula is considered as if the miut basra is cut already? And when he's fiddling away over there, it takes him 3 hours. That doesn't count as anything. The miut basra is considered as if it's already nishchat, and he's wasting time, and that's absolutely shear between the first simon and the second simon. But he's saying, no, ruba kukuloi, roiv is enough, but it's not considered as if it's nishchat. Roiv is enough, but if you continue to shech the miut basra, it's nitvas and shchita, because he didn't finish the shchita, he didn't shech the second simon yet. Okay, that was the suffix by chalode mahu. I shechted the roiv of the first simon, and then I do chalode to shech the remainder of the first simon. So Duryeh say, Ruba Kukula, it's already considered as if the miut basra of the first simon is nishchat already. So it's not nitfas and shchita. What do you say? No. All you need is roiv. But if you're going to shech the miut basra, you didn't finish the shchita, you didn't shech the second simon. It's holding in the middle of the shchita. So that was a sofik by chalod, and the same sofik by shehiyah. Not that he was mamshoya. He's shechting with a sack and raw, shechting with a dull knife. That's one pshat the Rabbi Natan has. Then the Rabbi Natan suggests another pshat, which is revolutionary, wild. He says, maybe the Gemara Sofik was, he's shechting the miut kama of the first simon, bechalode. He sticks in the knife, and he cuts upward. He sticks in the knife in the middle of the simon kama, and he shechts upwards the miut kama of the first simon. And the Gemara had a suffix, maybe there's no problem of chalode. How can be no problem of chalode? That's mamish the shchita. So the Rabbi Natam, the Rosh explains it a little better than the Tosfos says it. The Rosh usually gives you the chazora on the Balei HaTosfos. There were yeshivas in Europe years, years ago, centuries ago, where they learned Gemara, Rashi, and Rosh. They didn't learn Tosfos. Because the Rosh always gives you the tamtzitz of what Tosfos says with all the best rayas, and it gives you the maskanas. A lot of times Tosfos goes on and on, meandering, other sugyas, trying to patch everything up. And the Rosh gives you the tamtzitz. So the Rosh does a better job at this Rabbeinu Tam than the way it's presented in Tosfos. A little sharper in the Rosh. So the Rosh presents it like this. The Rabbeinu Tam raised the suf. Rabbeinu Tam learned in the Gemara, Hechlet b'mir tzimane mahu, Osho b'mir tzimane mahu. Maybe the psule shchita of chalode in Shia only apply if he shechts the roiv. He does the shchita. The shchita is the roiv. If he does the roiv of the shchita be paslus, but if he only shechts the miut kame be paslus, so maybe the psul doesn't apply because that's not called the shchita. It's only a miut. It's only called the shchita if he shecht the roiv. Then he's called he shecht the roiv when he gave it simon. That's called the shchita. So maybe chalodim and she only pasul if you did a roiv bipsul. But if you did a miut bipsul, then it wouldn't pass. So then the Rabbi and Tam says, wait a minute. And that was a suffix in the Gemara. And the Gemara said, take what they're not sure. So what about when you shecht a knife? A knife, you only have to shecht one or the other. You only have to shecht one simon. So then it's going to come out if you're going to shech the miut kama and do a shia, so there's no psul shia on the miut. There's no chalod and no shia on the miut. So when is going to be? So there won't be any psul shia by oif. There's never going to be a psul shia by oif. But the Gemara talks about shia by oif on the next daf. Rabbi Natan says maybe it's only midirabbanon. Woo! Maybe the whole psul shia doesn't apply to oif, because you're going to do the shia after by the miut kama. So maybe the psula ishchita only apply if you shech the roi b'psul, shech the miyot b'psul not. So maybe by yoifes there's no psul there. Isa, I think Mar talks about shia by yoifes. Maybe it's only mid the rabbanim. That's a chiddush nifla miyot. Rabbi Natan himself is implying he thinks that it doesn't make any sense. So these are the various pshatim in the Gemara. Wow. Thus it gives all the various pshatim in the Gemara. But in Shulchan Aruch we pass on like the Rashi, the Chumra. That the niyut, after you already finished the whole shechita, we don't pass on like the Tosefta. We assume that the Tosefta is not reliable. The Gemara says you can only rely on a brisa if it was incorporated by Rab Chiya and Rab Oshia into the Tosefta. Those are reliable. Other Toseftas, other brisas may not necessarily be reliable. So there's a The Rambam writes in one place that the Sefta that we have in the back of the Gemara, not a Rambam, but Kesem Mishnah, excuse me. Kesem Mishnah writes on the Rambam in the middle of Hilchas Tshuva. He talks about a Tosefta. So Rabbi Yosef Kara writes in the Kesem Mishnah, the commentary on the side of the Rambam, he says that the Sefta that we have is written by Reb Chiya v'Rab Oshia b'Zulasa and others. So the Chidor picks up on this. Ido has a sefer bibliography. He has Shem Agdoyim. So he writes one section. He has everything. He lived in the 1700s. That's when they started writing encyclopedias. So the Yad Malachi is an encyclopedia, and the Chido wrote a few encyclopedias. Encyclopedia of Talmudic terminology, encyclopedia of Talmudic concepts, encyclopedia of Agadic concepts. Several more encyclopedias. The Chidor wrote a lot of Svarim, and quite a few encyclopedias. So he has in the Shem Agdolim, he has a listing of all the Rishonim and Achrayim up until he only lived in the 1700s. So he only has up until his time. And then he has a bibliography alphabetically arranged, all of the Svarim that were printed and the manuscripts that he was aware of. And he writes about the authors and the Svarim when they were printed, and so on, details about the Svarim. So he raises this issue regarding this Kesem Mishnah, that the Sefta HaMetzuya Ata B'Yadeinu, the Kesem Mishnah says, is written by Rab Chiya v'Rab Oshia, but he adds on the word Vizul Osam. So it means that it's not necessarily reliable. But the Gemara says only the brises that were edited by Rab Chiya v'Rab Oshia are those that you can ask a kasha from. Those are reliable. So it just knocked off the whole validity, the whole reliability of the Tosefta. So that's here. The Rabbi Natam shlugs up Rashi because of the Tosefta. So the Chidor says we're not so sure that the Tosefta is reliable, because the Kesem Mishnah says this is not the real Tosefta. It is not Rab Chiya v'Rab Oshia. The one that we have is Rab Chiya v'Rab Oshia Vizul Osam and other scholars, and may not necessarily be Akasha. So that's despite the fact that the Rashi Shita contradicts the Tosefta, there are more Paschans like Rashi. That's the meaning in Ashkenaz, always was like that. That we're Choshi, we're Machmer on the Shia b'Miyad Basra, and the Chaloda b'Miyad Basra, and the Hagrama b'Miyad Basra, even though the Rivon held like Rashi by the Shia and by the Chaloda and by the Hagrama, he wanted to reject it because it's like cutting off the leg, cutting Shalom Makam. So we're Machma even on the Hagrama b'Miyad Basra, Machma for all the three parts of the Rashi.
Drossa
also the same thing. We would be Machma Drossa b'Miyad Basra, yeah. Drossa b'Miyad Basra. The only issue would be if you shech b'sak in peguma. So that the shach has a machloikah. So that depends whether shechting b'sak peguma is like it's considered like ripping the simonim. So that it's not a psul neshchita. It's not considered shchita at all. So cutting with the sak in peguma wouldn't pass on the mir basra. But according to Rashi, he learns that ikur means shechting b'sak in peguma. That's how Tosis interprets Rashi. Then shechting the sakim beguma is a shechita bepaslu. So then that would also pasul the miut pasul. Then the Shah quoted a suggestion that some said the only time you have to be choshish for these rashis, if it's the same person shechting the miut pasul as shechted the original part. It doesn't appear so. It shouldn't be so. If you have two different people, one does the beginning, one does the end of the shechita, it is mitzdarf yachad. So why should it make a difference just because the first one finished the whole shechita already? But the second one who continues is a hemshech. It's a hemshech b'shia, a hemshech b'chalode. So the whole thing will pass. We don't really accept that shechita.
Sakin roll is the same thing as a
dull knife. Sakin roll means a dull knife.
It's not a
pogrom, no. Begimah means that it's ripping. Begimah means that it has a nick.
Right.
So it catches, the pegima catches on the neck, then it's going to rip the neck. Sakura means that it's dull and it takes a long time to cut.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What about a drama where, so let's say they cut two thirds, and then instead of cutting, not in the makam, what's it called? Not the makam of stita. So instead of continuing, he does the rest from the other side and meets in the middle. Is that also a problem?
Also, we'll say that's also on the Bela. There was one big shechita, and the whole shechita was with psula hagram, and the whole thing is in the veil. Yeah, we're machman all of that. Yes. What's the next mishnah? We'll start. Ashoch is shnei rashin ke'echot titosik sheira. He has one knife, and he has two animals, one next to the other, and he's shechting both at the same time. So by karbanas, we had already at the beginning of the pair. By karbanas, l'chatchili, you're not allowed to do that. By karbanos, he's not allowed to. You have to shecht each carbon by itself. Not lechatchil, you shouldn't shecht two together, but by the evid it'll be kosher. So the Mishnah goes, by the evid that's by karbanos. A shecht is shnei rashi kech shechitosik sheir. Yeah. Shnei mochsa misakim mishochtim. That was the Mishnah that was quoted on the Amud Aleph. Afilu echel lemaylo echel lemato. So there were two pshatim. Rav learns that cutting with two different knives. And at two different elevations, one is higher up, one is lower down. It's still good. Shchitasik sheira, it's still good. And the other pshat, Shmuel and pshat, they're both holding onto one knife. Echlamad bechlamad, they're cutting diagonally, so it's one good shchita. Okay. What if he takes a knife and he cuts very quickly? So instead of fiddling back and forth, he chops the head off. Chopping off, that's drasa. So that's no good. You have to pressure. You have to place pressure to cut down. But you have to fiddle back and forth also. Hit is the rosh b'vasachas, and there was no fiddling back and forth psula. That's the psula of drosa. Or yeshechet v'hit is the rosh b'vasach. Shech means he is cutting back and forth, but the knife was so sharp, so he shechted the whole neck was detached. Should I call a drosa, or should I say no? He was fiddling back and forth. So the question is, how long is the knife? How long is the knife? If it's a very short knife, and he cut off the whole neck in one shot, so he didn't fiddle back and forth enough. He just hit his rosh b'masachas. He didn't fiddle enough. But if it's a long enough knife and he just shechts like this, so he had the width of the neck. The knife, let's say, is four times the width of the neck or three times the width of the neck. So he's like shechting back and forth. He's shechting. He's pulling this way, pushing that way. So then there was no drasa. Then it was fiddling back and forth is good. So that's the next line in the Mishnah. Yeshechet, he's fiddling back and forth. V'hit is the rosh b'masachas. He planned to shech back and forth, but then the whole he did it in one swoop. The whole neck got detached in one swoop. Yesh b'sakim below tzavar. If the knife is long enough, and outside of the, let's say the neck is, how wide is the neck of an animal? 12 inches wide, let's say, guessing. Probably more. The width of the neck is, let's say, 12 inches wide. And the knife is 24 inches long. So he pulled the knife and he shechted the animal with the whole length of the knife. So that's like fiddling back and forth. So that's fine. That's not a drasa. That's a shchita ksheira. That's good. Shechting two behemoths, one next to each other. The first line in the Mishnah, that's b'di'eved, even though it's fiddling back and forth, because by kotchim, the first line goes b'kotchim, not b'chul. By kotchim l'chatchile, we learned it last week. There was a machlokes hatanaim, Rablaz b'Rab Shimon, that's the last line on Chof Tesam and Beis, and Gemara quoted, Rablaz b'Rab Shimon holds that l'chatchile in alar shech to karbanis. The Vasachas, and L'chatchil, you shouldn't have two people shech one carbon. By chulin, there's no problem. You have two people holding onto the knife, pulling back and forth. They need each other's help. It's not a problem. But by kochim lachatchilu shouldn't have. B'riyeved, the Mishnah says it is good. B'riyeved, it's still good. So now the Mishnah is having a different thing. He shechted two animals, one next to the other, with a knife, and he didn't fiddle back and forth. He went like this, and in one swoop, in one direction, and both of the heads got chopped off. So is that an issue of drasa? Or did he say no? He fiddled back and forth. So it says it depends how long the knife is. Depends how long. Yesh b'sakin, what does it say? Yeshech v'yidushnei v'ashim v'asakin. Yesh b'sakin, below tzavar echad, p'sheira. If the length of the knife is 36 inches long, each neck is 12 inches long, and let's say the two animals are near each other, so you need 12 inches for this, 12 inches for that, then you need a little bit in between, another 3 inches, then you have another 12 inches. So he went like this, so each neck had 24 inches worth of a length of a knife to cut it. So then it's not a problem of drasa. So that's not a drasa. He was fiddling. He wasn't fiddling back and forth in one direction. Either he pulled or he pushed. But it wasn't the drasa. He was pushing back and forth. So that's shechitah k'sher. When do you have to have such a long arm? He didn't go back and forth. If he's fiddling back and forth, so then afilu kol yom kula, afilu kosher, even if the knife is not so long, it's only a razor, it's a very tiny, a few inches, afilu bizamelus k'sher, because he's fiddling back and forth, so it's not a dross. Okay, we know all the din. What does the Gemara tell the story here? How do you know that drasa is no good? How do you know that the word shchita passels drasa? How do you know if you push down it's no good? Maybe that's also called shchita. How do you know from the Chumash that there's a psul of drasa? That you have to fiddle back and forth. If you push down it's no good. Omer Shmuel, the Omer Kvad is based on a pasuk. The pasuk we have before. Chet shochet ushainam mima diber. So the Navi uses the verb shchita in connection with a chetz, and a chetz shoots sideways. Chetz doesn't go down, chetz goes sideways. So you see that the word shchita means to cut in a sideways direction, not to cut down. But you have to cut down, you have to place pressure, but you have to place pressure while you're fiddling back and forth. That's the meaning of the word shchita. Tanu by Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel, in the Brisa from Rabbi Shmuel's Yeshiva, they say, no, I don't need any rice on the Pesukim. The Shochat, it says in Chumash, V'shochat has ben abokar. When you bring a carbon, so you shecht it in the Azor. The word V'shochat, that's what the Ein V'shochat del o mashach. That's what the word V'shochat means. The fiddle back and forth. The Chen Ho'emer, he digs up a different pasuk in Novi, Zov Shachut. Also, Zov Shachut means they would put in gold into the thread, they would make clothing. So they would put in a thread of gold in the middle. So the thread of gold is lengthwise, straight. So that has the connotation of going straight. The Yoimer, you have another pasuk, Chet Shochet Hashamim Mimadibab, just like a chetz goes sideways, doesn't go down, so too shchit has to go sideways. Fregdemar, why did he need two psukim? My Yoimer. Why wasn't it good? The first pasuk should be a love, Zov Shachut. Everything more because v'chitayim, because one can ding zich and say zov shochet doesn't mean it's not from the word shchita. Zov shochet maybe comes from the word chut, maybe has the connotation of the word chut. You introduced a thread of gold, you banged that gold till it was very thin, and then you snipped off a very thin string. So like you make a string of gold and you blend it in with the rest of the thread. So maybe it's not from the word, maybe it's not from the three-letter verb of shachot. So the word chut has nothing to do with shachot. That's why toshma, that's why I quoted the other pasuk, chay shachot l'shainam shay. So that's good. And achen amin. I don't know. He thought the truth is that both, the usage of the word shachot in both psukim has the same connotation, but you can't really prove it conclusively from the first pasuk. He thought the first pasuk also means the same. It's not miloshen chut, it's miloshen shachot. Then the Gemara tells a funny story. Rava Havibadik Legira, the Rabbi Yonah Bar Tachlifa, he had an arrow, and he was going to throw the arrow at a bird that was flying in the air, and was going to shecht it like that. So he has to check the arrow, the Gira is an arrow, to make sure that there's no pigimus on it, because it's going to shecht. So he was baidik it, Rava was baidik the arrow, for Rabbi Yonah Bar Tachlifa, and he shecht it with that by throwing. The Shachaba Oifa, Bahari Deparach, while the bird was flying in the air. He threw it like this. Freg de Gemara, how can you rely on that? You're not standing next to the bird. V'dilma o v'tchalod. Maybe the knife got stuck in the middle. Who says that the knife cut from the outside in? Maybe got stuck in the middle. Gemara says, no, you look at it after it falls to the ground. You look at the bird, and you see that it's cut from the outside through and through. It didn't penetrate in the middle of the neck of the bird. Evnemor chazinan gadfei demefarme. You see that the wings are cut, are ripped in such a way that it's good. Freg de Gemara, what kind of a way of shechting this? Isn't there a mitzvah to do kisi adam? That's a perek later, kisi adam. Whenever you shecht chai v'yoif, you shecht behemoth, you don't need kisi adam. When you shecht turkeys, when you shecht chickens, when you shecht chai v'yoif, you have to do kisi adam. That's what they do in the slaughterhouse. They shecht, you don't have to do every single bird. They shecht 100 birds, and then they do one kisi adam at the end. You shecht many birds. You have offer on the ground, and then after you shecht 100, then you do a kisi adam for everything altogether. So the Gemara says, what kind of shtick is this? You're shechting birds by throwing. What's herzuch with the mitzvah kisa adam? V'chitem with the mechasil, no problem. He'll walk over, and then he'll see where the blood dripped on the ground, and he'll throw a little sand on top. V'chitem with the Gemara, that's not a way to fulfill the mitzvah. You have to prepare in advance. You have to have loose sand, a loose sawdust, something, loose offer on the ground when you shecht first, and then you pour the offer on top. You have to have offer malamayla, offer malamata. Freg the Gemara. What kind of a way? You can't. V'chitema de mechasi, he'll do kisi adam after he shechts. You can't do after. You have to have offer there in advance. Amarab zeir, amarab, shecht tel shiton offer lamata, offer lamayla shenehemar. You have to have offer on top and on bottom, because it says v'chisohu be offer. Offer lenema. It doesn't say cover the dam with offer. Cover the dam in offer. In the offer means offer lamayla. Offer lamato. Malame, that base, be offer, teaches us shechitzel sheitan offer lamato, offer lamato. And the demazmalel offer, the kula piska. No, he ground up. There was ground up offer. So there was offer lamato all the time. And he was going to shech the bird somewhere on this region, on this area. So the offer lamato was there. And after he would succeed in catching a bird and shechting it while it was flying, and it did a good shechita, he would pour offer lamato. That's the poshup shot. The Mazman Layla offer, he ground up, he prepared the offer in advance. Wherever he will succeed in shechting a bird, there'll be offer lamata to begin with. Rashi has another pshat here. The Mazman Layla, no, the whole biko was full of granulated offer. Mazman means Mazman bepeh. He made a declaration in case the bird will be nishchat anywhere in this place, I want the offer that's there now to count as the offer lamata. We need a declaration. He's shechting it, and he knows that the mitzvah will not be completed until you do offer melamata. There is offer melamata. I mean, you have to put the offer. You have to put the offer there melamata before you shecht. You have to put it. If it's there by itself, teiknish. So you have to make a declaration. It's a chiddush. Rashi has a chiddush here. You have to make a declaration. I didn't have a chance to look in the other day whether they quote that la'alocha, but that pshat and Rashi is a chiddush. Okay, maybe we'll stop here.
This story seems to conflict with the first raya the Gemara brings from the chetz. Without checking it, you can't assume that the chetz goes sideways. The chetz could, I mean, it's a little schwer. I mean, I didn't understand the raya. The Gemara's first raya.
That the chetz goes sideways, so he's also doing sideways.
No, but I'm saying, but we see from the story that the chetz can go.
No, the chetz can sometimes get stuck in the middle of the neck. That'll be chalada, but it won't be drasa. Drasa is if you push down without fiddling back and forth. So there was no chashash of chalada. There was no chashash of drasa. The Gemara said maybe there's a chashash of chalada. Who knows that it cut from the outside? The Gemara says we'll look at the chicken. We'll look at the bird after he'll shecht it. Yeah. Very strange that they had such a strange way how to shecht. Rashi points out on Parshas Lech Lecho that Avram was Chamesh Shanim Shivim Shana B'Tzeisa Mechoron. He was 75 years old. 75 years old, his father Terach hadn't passed away yet. So it's a little misleading. At the end of Parshas Noach it says Terach died and he's out of the picture, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Avram and he tells him to go to Eretz Yisrael. That's not what happened. Terach with the whole family moved from Ur Kasdim to Haran, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, you leave your father, and he left his father behind. So Rashi says that Pasuk doesn't tell a lie. The pasuk tells you he was 75. You can calculate. He was 75. Father's still alive. We know how old the father. We know how old Terach was when Avraham Avinu was born. It says he was still alive a couple of years. So he was mavatul keep it off. True, he was mavatul keep it off. But the pasuk covers up on it because the Rosh Hashanah told him to leave his father. Lech lecham mimolatcha, leave his father. So the pasuk is covering up. So the Ibn Ezra picks up on this. The Ibn Ezra says the truth of the matter was like this. Next to the last pasuk in Parashat Noach, "Vayikach Terach es Avram benav es Lot ben Har ben Lot sorei kalosai vayetzi itam ayor kazma leches har tziknon." So the pasuk sounds like Terach decided to move to Eretz Yisrael, and he meant part of the way. Leches har tziknon. He went to Choron, and he changed his mind. He didn't go any further for whatever reason. Didn't go further. So you get the impression that this was Terach's idea to move the whole family to Eretz Yisrael, and he went halfway. And then the Rabban Shalom tells Avraham Avinu, "I want you to leave Chor." So the Ibn Ezra says, "No, the truth of the matter was they were living in Ur Kasdim." And the Rabban Shalom told Avraham Avinu, "In Ur Kasdim, I want you to go to Eretz Yisrael." So Avraham Avinu told his father, "I'm leaving. Maybe we should all go." So Avraham Avinu convinced the father they should all go, but the father didn't go all the way. So the same as Rashi, you have to reread the Psukim. The Psukim are written out of order, that's clearly. The pasuk says Terach died, and then Avraham Avinu left. It's not true. Avraham Avinu left while Terach was still alive, but you have to reread more that it wasn't Terach's idea. Vayikach Terach, it wasn't Terach's idea to go. It's really the Rabban Shalom told Avraham Avinu we should go, and then Avraham Avinu told Terach we should all go. He started going, and then he left. That's how the Ibn Ezra rereads the parsha. So the Ramban often quotes Ibn Ezra. He quotes Ibn Ezra. How can you say that that's pshat in the pasuk? It says that according to the Ibn Ezra, Avraham Avinu is leading this tour. Avraham Avinu is bringing everybody to Choron and to Eretz Yisrael. The pasuk says that Terach was leading it over here. So the Ibn Ezra is not correct. He can't say that Avraham Avinu is the one who put the bug in Terach's head that he should go to Eretz Yisrael with him. It's beferish against the psuk. So they published a sefer by Rav Soloveitchik with drushes on Bereshis about Avraham Avinu. Has very fascinating drushes there. So he points out there is a Gemara in Kiddushin that there's a the whole sugya of Kibbut Aviyim, the end of the first parak in Kiddushin. So the Gemara says, and it's quoted in Yerideya, what we have an expert here on Kibbut Aviyim. So what if the parents is violating one of the dinim in the Torah? So you bop them up with the head. You say you're mechal al Shabbos. You're eating treifas. He's supposed to say it b'derach kovod. He say, "Dad, is this mutter? Maybe there's a shaila here. You have to say it in a nice way." So he says, Avraham Avinu was Mekayim Kibarav. So when the Rabban Shalom told him that he has to move to Eretz Yisrael, so he made it as if the outside world had the impression that it was Terach's decision. Sanishkin Kasha, what the Ibn Ezra asks. Not a Kasha, what the Ramban asked at the, against the Ibn Ezra. The Pasuk says that Terach was leading this tour to move to on the way to Eretz Yisrael. Avraham Avinu made it. He wanted to fulfill Kibarav. So he presented to the outside world as if it was Terach's decision. Like the Gemara says, whenever you do Kibbutz, the Chayyodam has a separate sefer on Hilchas Eretz Yisrael. He talks about Trumas Amaisis and Shemitah, he talks about all the din. Then he talks about the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. That's Parshas Lech Lecha. He once asked Rav Kook, what turned him on about Eretz Yisrael? He learned the Valojin, he was a Rav in Europe, and then he went crazy, you have to move away, everybody should go to Eretz Yisrael. What got him so excited? He said, when you read the Chumash, starting from Lech Lecha till the end, everything revolves about Eretz Yisrael. It's certainly true. So the mitzvah of living, we should all be living in Eretz Yisrael. None of us belong here, we're all supposed to live in Eretz Yisrael. So there's a comment that Medrash has, so the Chayyodim raises a suffix, a Shaila Halacha Mais. Is a person permitted to move to Eretz Yisrael if his parents live in Chutz Lord? By moving to Eretz Yisrael, he's going to be neglecting the mitzvah of Kibbut Aviyim. What's the din? So he quotes a Medrash Rabbah, Lech Lecha, I'm only giving you permission to leave your father. Terach was still alive, like Rashi points out, based on the years. Terach was still alive, and Avraham Avinu is moving to Eretz Yisrael, he's going to be neglecting the mitzvah of Kibbutz. So the Medrash says, Lech Lecha, this is only Lecha, only for you. I only permit you to move to Eretz Yisrael, even though you're going to be negligent in the midst of Kibbutz, and I don't allow anybody else to do that. So the Chayyodim understands the Medrash to say that anybody outside of Avraham Avinu is not allowed to leave Chutz Lortz if it's going to mean he's going to fulfill the mitzvah of leaving Eretz Yisrael, but it's going to be in violation of the mitzvah of Tzidkus. He won't be mahana the parents as much as he would have otherwise been able to. That's how the Chayyadim learns pshat in that medrash. Others learn pshat in the medrash totally differently. Many poskim, the Chayyadim lived the same. The Chayyadim was a mechutna of the Vilna Gaon. He said a hesped when the Vilna Gaon passed away. Keeps on referring to him as his mechutna. Whenever he quotes, he's a mechutna of the son of the Vilna Gaon. But it sounds lana, sounds better to say mechutna of the Vilna Gaon. So he always refers to the Gro as mechutani ha-Gro. So others say not like the Chayyadim. They say before the Chayyadim, they already wrote shuvas. You moved to Eretz Yisrael, your parents are over here, what can you do? So you say you're negligent. And what does it mean, lech lecha, only to you and other people I don't allow? So the others aren't shot in the medrash differently. There's an interesting Rambam. The Rambam has a shaila. Does a gersh and his guy whose parents are still not Jewish, is he obligated to observe kibbut aviyim? Because we have a din, gersh and his guy, to cut and shenola dam. He's not related to the original relatives. You have two brothers convert, so they're kosher ladies together. Gersh and his kot shenol, they're not related. You have a father and a son convert, the son doesn't yarshin the father, because they're not related anymore. It's not, ger is not yerush esoviv. A brother and a sister convert, minatur, they're allowed to marry, midirabbana, we don't permit it, because it'll cause confusion. But the others, by the Yerusha, we leave it on the din that there's no Yerusha. By the Kroivim kosher leedus, we leave it on the din. Besdin is not going to get confused. By the Kroivim, we're afraid that they'll get confused. So there's a din midirabbanon, a brother and a sister converts. I mean, a third they're allowed to marry. Midirabbanon, we don't permit it because we say shalayom rubadim kedusha hamur lekedusha kala. Because Mani was a guy who wasn't allowed to marry the sister. Now that he converts, life is easier. So people shouldn't say when you become Jewish, you don't have to keep as many mitzvahs as when you're a goy. It's not true, it's because katan shenola dami, but that's what it'll look like. Some of the rabbanim, they don't permit the ger to marry his sister, because shelo yom rabbanim kedusha chamur l'kedusha kal. So the Rambam writes a statement, the ger shen his guy is obligated to observe kibbut aviyim mid the rabbanon with his parents, shelo yom rabbanim kedusha chamur l'kedusha kal. Because Mani was a goy, He was respectful of his parents. He went out of his way. There's no mitzvah to keep it up. It's not from the Sheva mitzvahs ben Enoch, but usually they observe it. Nice goyim observe keep it up. And now he's going to convert. He doesn't have. He can treat his father like anybody else. But the Rambam says, but the Rabbanon, he's not allowed to do that. Where does it say that in the Gemara? What's the mocha for that? That keep it up, the aim applies in Malachash and this guy. Remember, there was a weekend in. There was a Gioris who was engaged to marry a boy. He was from a rabbinic family 10 generations in a row. They were Rabbanim, Rabbanim, Rabbanim all the way back. And this girl was a Gioris, and her mother used to go with a big tzeil. The father passed away. The mother was there, Azera, from a Catholic. She went with a big tzeil. So he, and his father had passed. His father was a rabbi. His grandfather was a prominent rabbi. His great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, very prominent rabbis, very famous rabbis. So he wanted his mother to march him down the aisle. His father died. She wanted her mother to march him down the aisle. But her mother gave him that grace at Salem. So the mother came to the chasen and she was nice enough to put the tzelem under her gown. But the shaila was, so the boy said, how can your mother march you down the aisle? She's not Jewish. She said, but your mother's going to march you down. So why shouldn't my mother march me down? So I remember we were at some Shabbaton. Where was it? Where's the army base? In upstate New York.
West Point.
There was a Shabbaton at West Point. I forgot what the guy's name. We're all singles there. So this couple was engaged there with him. So they had this issue over Shabbat. So they asked me. I was the guest. I was the rabbi. I was married. And I was there with my family. So they asked me. So I said, if you don't want her mother to march her down, I don't think it's right that your mother should march you down. That's what the Rambam says. It's a din of kibbut aim midi rabbanan. How can you leave out her mother if your mother's gone? They didn't listen. You know? The end of the story was they got married, then they got divorced. It just didn't work out. They got divorced. So the Mefarshim says, where did the Rambam get this? Vushteit in the Gemara that there's a din of kibbut av mid the rabbanon by a gerush and his guy. He has to treat his goyish parents with kibbut av. So the Mefarshim say the makir is this medrash lech lecho. I only permit you to violate kibbut av yeim. Because I want you to do the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, but any other ger, where there's no issue of conflict with mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael, has to observe Midr Rabbanan. This is the Medrash, Lech Lucha. Only you, I don't permit others. But it does mean I don't permit other Jewish people to do Aliyah when it's going to conflict with the Kibbutz Abayim. No, I don't permit other Gerim to violate Kibbutz Abayim Midr Rabbanan because Shelo Yamru. This is the Mokker in the Medrash commenting on this part. There's no Mokker in Shas, but the Mokker is this Medrash. The others don't learn like the Chayodim. You generally assume not like the Chayodim, that the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael should be observed, even if it means that the children are going to be negligent in Kibbutz Abayim. Even if it means like that. But that's the whole story. That's what Rashi quotes from the Medrash. The story as it's presented didn't happen like this. Not that Terach died and then Avraham Avinu leaves to go. No. Avraham Avinu was given the nevuah way back, while the father was still alive. And the Ibn Ezra claims that's what motivated Terach to go. Because Avraham Avinu told Terach, I got to go. The Baruch Shalom told me to go to Eretz. So let's all go. So they all went. And even though the Pasuk doesn't sound like that, so that's what Rav Soloveitchik said, the Pasuk means that Avraham Avinu was Megayim Kibbutz in such a nice way that the public didn't know that he was the one who wound up the father. He presented in such a way as if the people thought that Terach is the one who had this idea. He initiated this idea. Interesting. Yeah.
According to Ibn Ezra, Lech Lecha was sent when they were still in Ur-Kanton.
Yeah, Rashi says like that. It was still in Ur-Kanton. Yeah, still in Ur-Kanton. Yeah, according to others, it was in Charan. He says it was in Ur-Kanton. Yeah, correct.
Rebbe, we've seen the sensitivity of the Baruch Hu.